Hello, friend, I'm glad you stopped by today. Awesome day to be alive. Here in Minnesota, we're looking forward to our first snowstorm. Great day to be alive, I'm just telling you. Well, if that cools you off, this will warm you up. It's in 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. We're going to end this series called Stop Stopping Short. And I'd like you to follow along as I read this section of Scripture. As you're looking up 2 Kings chapter 20, I want to pray for us. Father, the weather is changing, the atmosphere, the climate, everything is changing. The days are growing shorter. And Lord, I know you're saying something to us even in that. And so today as we talk about stopping short, and especially as we focus in our attention on what if tomorrow doesn't come, Lord, get our attention, please, for your name's sake and your glory. Win us over, Holy Spirit. Touch our hearts again, rekindle in us the fire of your love, and draw us close into your everlasting arms. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Now, 2 Kings chapter 20, I'm going to begin reading with verse 1, if you'd be so kind to follow along. It says, about that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill, and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to visit him. He gave the king this message. This is what the Lord says. Set your affairs in order, for you're going to die. You will not recover from this illness. When Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, how I have always tried to be faithful to you and do what is pleasing in your sight. Then he broke down and wept bitterly. But before Isaiah had left the middle courtyard, this message came to him from the Lord. Go back to Hezekiah, the leader of my people. Tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. I have heard your prayer and have seen your tears. I will heal you. And 3 days from now you will get up out of bed and go to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will rescue you and this city from the king of Assyria. And I will do this to defend my honor and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah's servants, make an ointment from figs and spread it over the boil. They did this, and Hezekiah recovered. Meanwhile, Hezekiah had said to Isaiah, what sign will the Lord give to prove that he will heal me and that I will go to the temple of the Lord 3 days from now? And Isaiah replied, this is the sign that the Lord will give you to prove that he will do as he promised. Would you like the shadow on the sundial to go forward 10 steps or backward 10 steps? The shadow always moves forward, Hezekiah replied. Make it go backward instead. So Isaiah asked the Lord to do this. And he caused the sundial to move 10 steps backward on the sundial of Ahaz. Isn't that a phenomenal story? But let me ask you a question. What if tomorrow doesn't come? I want you to think about that for just a moment. What if tomorrow doesn't come? I don't want to be trying to be morbid here. I don't want to make us have to think about death any more than what we'd like to. But I'd like to ask you to think and to contemplate right now. What if tomorrow doesn't come? Think of it. There will not be a November 10th or any day thereafter for you. It's reported that Colonel Rahl, commander of the British troops in Trenton, New Jersey, was playing cards when a courier brought an urgent message stating that General George Washington was crossing the Delaware River. However, Colonel Rahl put the letter in his pocket and he didn't even bother to read it until his card game was finished. Then, realizing the seriousness of the situation, he hurriedly tried to rally his men to meet the coming attack, but it was too late. His procrastination caused many of his men to be killed and the rest of the regiment to be captured. Later, Norbert Quayle gave a report of the incident, and this is what he said. Only a few minutes' delay cost him his life, his honor, and the liberty of his soldiers. Earth's history is filled with the wrecks of half-finished plans and unexecuted resolutions. Tomorrow is the excuse of the lazy and the refuge of the incompetent. Think about that. Tom Heyman in his book In an Average Lifetime showed that the average American in his lifetime spends, now this is the average American, okay, you might be above or below average, but in their lifetime they spend 3 years in business meetings, 13 years watching television, $89,281 on food. They consume 109,354 pounds of food. They make 1,811 trips to McDonald's. They spend $6,881 in vending machines. They eat 35,138 cookies and 1,483 pounds of candy. They catch 304 colds. It is involved in 6 motor vehicle accidents, is hospitalized 10 times, and spends 24 years sleeping. And with that, we're going to wrap up this sermon series, Stopping Short. It's here that after all the months and messages, 22 to be exact, that we hear that clarion call from the corridors of time, push through, press up, pull hard. There are greater days yet to come. Hey, King Hezekiah, he had just received some very disturbing news. He was sick. The Bible tells us he had a boil. As I thought about it, a boil can't kill you, but cystisemia can. And it's told by this man of God, Isaiah, that he's going to die. And these are words that none of us ever want to hear. You don't have much to live. Get your stuff in order. Get your life in order. Hezekiah had been boasting about how powerful he was. And then Israel was attacked by Assyria and captured. And then the Assyrians turned to Judah. And God has made Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, to come oppress Judah. But God had delivered them. And now the king, King Hezekiah, was sick. And the Bible says, unto death. And he begins pleading with God. He had been told that he was not going to live anymore. And he begins to plead his case. And the question for us is this. Faced with the same pronouncement, how would we begin our plea? What would we say to God? And how would we live with the question, what if tomorrow doesn't come? I've said this all my ministry as far as I can think back. Life is short. Life is short. Capture the moment. Do what you need to do for today and let the rest go. See, we have no guarantee of tomorrow. You have right now. That's all you have is right now. You don't have a guarantee that there'll even be tomorrow. Do you remember what it says in James chapter 4? This is in verses 13 through 15. It says this. Look here, you people who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We'll do business there and make profit. How do you know what will happen tomorrow? For your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. See, you and I, we make plans with not knowing whether we'll carry them out or not. What if you knew tomorrow would not be there? There would be no November 10th. Well, here's Hezekiah's first plea. It's right there in verse 3. He says, remember, O Lord. I mean, Hezekiah's record is found in 2 Kings chapter 18. The Bible says he did what was right in the sight of God. He was faithful to the cause. He tried to handle Sennacherib in his own strength. He turned Judah back to trusting God for deliverance. He caused a revival, a restoration, a reformation in the land. At the age of 9, the architect Frank Lloyd Wright was walking in the snow with his uncle. And as he reached the far end of the field, his uncle stopped him. He pointed to his own tracks in the snow, which were straight. And then he showed Frank his steps, which were meandering all over the field. His uncle said, notice how your tracks wander aimlessly from the fence to the cattle, to the tree, to the forest again. My tracks, however, are constantly going toward my goal. Frank Lloyd Wright said that that day he learned a lesson that he never did forget. He would never again wander through life with no purpose. Have we walked in truth before God? I mean, does our testimony match up with our lives? Is what people see what people really get? Or have we embellished? Remember, O Lord. Here's Hezekiah's second plea. He says, remember, O Lord, I have always tried to be faithful. I've always tried to be faithful, God. But here's the truth. Hezekiah had sinned. But he returned to God and he followed. So let me ask you, where's your heart at? How perfect is your heart? How perfect do you think your heart is? See, there are ways to know. Hey, let me give you like five of them. Let me ask you this question. How's your relationship with God? Oh, I know you can sit here and say, well, I'm okay. He's okay. We're okay together. I mean, God and I, we're like this. You know, we're like buddies. Really? How is your relationship with God? Are you seeking after God? I mean, are you in His Word? Are you spending time with Him? Are you walking with Him each day? Here's the third question. Are you trusting God? And I mean with everything. Not just the things that are out of your control and you feel so lambasted by, but are you trusting Him with everything you have? Here's the fourth question. Are you pleasing God by your lifestyle, by your words, your actions? Are you pleasing God? See, how we follow God determines where our heart's at. Only the pure in heart, the Bible says, will see God. That's what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And here's Hezekiah's final plea. He did good in God's sight. He said, O Lord, remember, I have always tried to be faithful to you. And then he says, I have always tried to do what was pleasing in your sight. Have we done good in God's sight? I mean, not that good saves you, but good keeps you. Think about that. Good keeps you. Are you living as a child of the King, one who's been washed by the blood of the Lamb? See, what if we receive the news that Hezekiah received? What if the doctor, someone came up and said, get your life in order. Today is your last day. Has your life to this point in time been sufficient to plead with God? What if tomorrow doesn't come? Do we know and do we understand that we are bound for heaven? We're not locked here for time and eternity. We are bound. We are aliens passing through. We are wanderers in this dry and weary land. There is another land that we're going home to. It says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from every sin. 1 John 2, verse 3. And how can we be sure that we belong to Him? By obeying His commandments. 1 John 2, verse 5. But those who obey God's word really do love Him. That is the way to know whether or not we live in Him. Can we plead our cause just as Hezekiah did? See, I'm not perfect. I know you're not either. I mean, I have all kinds of problems. I have no ability. I have not the best. I'm not the best. I'm not the richest. I'm not the smartest or even the best looking. And sometimes, to be real honest with you, I wonder if I'm even worthy. Why would God want me? Why would God want you? Well, did you know that Moses stuttered? David's armor didn't fit. John Mark, he deserted Paul. Timothy had ulcers. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Amos' only training was in the school of fig tree pruning. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon was way too rich. Jesus was very poor. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a persecutor of the church. Moses was a murderer. Jonah ran from God's will. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Elijah was burned out. John the Baptist was a loudmouth. Martha was a worrywart. Noah got drunk. Did I mention that Moses had a short fuse? So did Peter and Paul and, well, lots of folks did. But God doesn't require a job interview for salvation. He's our Heavenly Father. He doesn't look at financial gain or loss. He's not prejudiced or partial. He doesn't show favoritism, not judging, grudging, sassy or brassy, not deaf to our cry, not blind to our need. He knows who we are and what we are, and He loves us in spite of ourselves. And Satan says, "You're not worthy." And Jesus says, "So what? I am." And Satan looks back and sees our mistakes, and God looks back and He sees the cross. He doesn't calculate if you failed in 2009 or 1999. Matter of fact, it's not even on the record or the radar. Sure, there's lots of reasons why God shouldn't call us, shouldn't use us. But if we're in love with Him, if we hunger for Him, He's going to use us in spite of who we are or where we've been or what we've done or the fact that we're not perfect. So for today, friends, stop stopping short. Push through. Press up. Pull hard.